I believe it's so very, very important. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. The Bible says so. There is a verse in the Bible, and I want you to see this verse, Revelation chapter 22, if you'll take your Bible. Revelation chapter 22, this is on page 1353, and turn to verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12, where it makes this statement, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Salvation is free. Rewards are earned. Always keep the difference. Understand that. Not only do I want you to be able to answer someone who always asks the question, "Yes, but don't you know that faith without works is dead?" You need to understand it, lest you wind up doubting what the Word of God says. When people have questions and doubts about the truth of the gospel, if you cannot answer them, their questions and doubts may become yours. And you live the way you really believe. Therefore, because I believe that the Lord will come quickly, and His reward will be with Him, to give to every man according as his work shall be. There's two ways of looking at that one verse. One, God is going to reward you when you get to heaven for the work you have done. But the work you have done and the rewards you receive is for the work you are going to do, as the work shall be. You see, there is a time coming in the future when this life is all over. What you do now is going to affect all eternity. So your future is being determined by your obedience to God today. Salvation, yes, is free, but rewards are earned. They're two different things. Christ paid the price for our salvation to save us from hell and get us to heaven. But what you have when you get to heaven, rewards, those are earned. They're the result of what you did for the Lord. You can trust Christ as Savior and accept the free gift and never do any works whatsoever. There's no stipulation. Grace did not incur a debt. So take your Bible and turn to the book of James in chapter 2. The book of James and chapter 2. Because it is so important that you understand the value of serving the Lord. If you see the real value in it, you will do it. You will do what you really believe. If you don't see any value in serving the Lord, you won't. So in James chapter 2, it says in verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Now it appears, according to this verse, that the answer is supposed to be, and truth is, it cannot. Can faith save him? No. But we're not talking here about salvation. We're talking about service. We're talking about to the believer and about profit in the believer's life. So if you look there at the first statement, how would you answer a man who says, "But don't you know that the Bible says you're justified by works, not by faith only?" The question is, does the Bible say that? Yes, it does say that. The Bible says that you are justified by works and not by faith alone. It also makes this statement in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac upon the altar? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? So is there a contradiction in the Bible? No, there's no contradiction. It just means that there's two opposing statements that apply to two different things. You know the Bible cannot contradict itself. It has to perfectly dovetail. So whenever it says something that seems to say and seems to contradict, it means that you don't understand something. The Word of God is clear. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is pure. Look at the statement that I have there. Yes, he was, and no, he wasn't. Was Abraham justified by faith without works? Yes. Was Abraham justified by works? Yes. Yes and no. So he's talking about something that I want you to see because it's so important. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans and chapter 4. You would be surprised that the people you talk to will always seem to insist upon the idea that a man has to live a certain way to be justified by God in order to go to heaven. He has to perform good works. Some people put it this way, you're saved by grace, but if you're really saved, you will live accordingly. That's not in the Bible either. That is not a true statement. There's no guarantee of that in the Bible. Can I trust Christ as my Savior and accept the free gift of eternal life and not do anything for the Lord? Yes, of course. Otherwise, it wasn't free. It was contingent upon you performing. Now, either it's free or it's not. It's either by grace, and grace is the absence of work. Now, here in the book of Romans, and I want you to see this in chapter 4, look in verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, if he was, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If he was justified by his works, then he couldn't boast that he was saved by grace, because he would be saved by his works. But look what he says. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, not before God. In verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So according to this, Abraham was not justified by his works. Abraham was justified by faith without works. So he says in verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So it means that God would be in debt to save him. But isn't believing a work? Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Here it's faith without works. Over in James, it's faith and works. Is that a contradiction in the Bible? No. So was Abraham justified by faith alone without works? Yes. Was Abraham justified by his works? Yes. But one is for salvation and one is for service. Two different things. So if you keep that in mind, you won't have trouble with the Scriptures. But if you try to put works and grace together and try to make it mix, it will not mix. There's nothing but confusion. That's why you cannot rest or trust in your good deeds to get you to heaven. or to prove that you're saved. I'm going to heaven totally upon the work, the merit of Jesus Christ. The song that James just sung, paid in full. When Jesus died, he paid my sin debt in full. There's nothing left for me to pay. Nothing. Before, during, after, nothing for me to pay. He paid it all. Paid my way. I go to heaven, it's a gift, free. Grace without works. So I am justified before God by my faith in what Christ did. When you talk about service, it's a different thing altogether. Look at the statement that I have here. I just want to read it to you, but I want you to get it. Yes, he was, and no, he wasn't. You see, Romans 4:2 says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof the glory, but not before God." Abraham was not justified by works before God for salvation. How was he justified, declared righteous? For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Good works would not take away his sin and make him righteous. Abraham received Christ's righteousness when he believed. He was justified, declared righteous when he believed. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. For if we could earn God's righteousness, then he would be in debt to us. He would owe it to us because we would deserve it. Abraham could glory, he could brag, if works before God justified him. Isn't that simple? You have a copy. You'll never forget it. You'll always remember it. So when somebody tries to tell you, but what about James chapter 2? You can say, yes, James chapter 2 is talking about the Christian who is already saved and about him serving the Lord. It's not talking about how to go to heaven and about being justified by faith alone. Because you cannot deny that the Bible says you are justified by faith and faith alone without works. Two of our favorite verses, mine and Hank's, was, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if it is by grace, through faith, alone, without works, you'll have to admit that if a man is saved by his works, then Ephesians 2:8-9 can't mean what it says. If a man can be justified by his works, by how he lives, earning it, deserving it, then here in Romans chapter 4 can't mean that. But what can it mean? What hath Abraham found? That salvation was by grace and grace alone. That a man cannot earn it nor work for it. There's a little square box that I want you to see there. Can a person earn God's righteousness by working for it? But to him that worketh not, but believeth. So believing on Christ is not a work. He said, he that worketh not, but believeth. So believing on Christ is not a work of the flesh. It's not a work of man. It's simply you believing the work that he did was for you and that he paid it in full. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Romans 4:5-7. God gives his righteousness only to those who do not work for it, but instead put their faith in Christ. Romans 4 speaks of sins being forgiven and being given God's righteousness by faith. That is salvation. When they taught about forgiveness of sins, sins can only be forgiven because they've been paid. If no one paid for sin, nobody could be forgiven for their sins. And that's why Christ died, paid for sin, so that God says, now you can go and preach the forgiveness of sin. People can be forgiven as though you never did it. And if I'm forgiven, that means I have no sin to pay for. He paid for mine. Boy, I wish that a lot of preachers could simply understand what Christ actually did on the cross. In the other little square box, I have Abraham was justified by faith alone for salvation. Abraham was justified by faith and works for service. Because service has to do with our work for the Lord, but for people. And then I have down, never forget this, faith alone, salvation, faith and works, service. So now let's say you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You know you're going to heaven when you die, and you can't earn it, you can't work for it, you didn't have to do anything to get it, there's nothing you can do to lose it. So why should I serve Him? I've had people say, you mean to tell me if I believe what you're saying, I can trust Christ as my Savior and then live like I please and still go to heaven when I die? Yeah, like Ray Stanford said one time, that's a crude way to put it, but yes, God loves you that much. Well, it seems like that's just giving you a license to sin, permitting me to sin. Maybe it does. But it also permits me to choose to serve Him. I chose, as a child of God, I want to honor my Father. I want to serve the Lord. So I don't serve the Lord to get to heaven. I serve the Lord because I'm going there. I serve the Lord because I want to. I go to church because I want to. I don't have to come to church. I give because I want to. I don't have to do that. I support missions. I don't have to do that. Do it because I want to. I tell people how to go to heaven. I don't have to do that. Do it because I want to. See, there's a lot of difference in what you have to do and what you want to do. God wants us as His children to yield. He doesn't make you. He wants us to love Him, but He doesn't make you love Him. He wants you to serve Him, but He doesn't make you serve Him. That's the choice. Look down at the bottom of that page. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? James 2:21 says that. You see, if you go back there to the book of James, you will find some statements made that seemed like a contradiction. And yet it's not a contradiction. So in these verses, yes, it does teach that a man is justified by his works. But what kind of man are we talking about? Look there in the book of James and look in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren. These are to the believers. My brethren. He also says in chapter 2 and verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. He's talking to those that believe. He says in verse 22 of chapter 1, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He's talking to believers about what they ought to do. And he says that if you and I would, we would be blessed. He talks about in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Rewards. This is to the believer who has troubles and trials and so forth, but he is to endure those things and serve the Lord and do it faithfully. And if he lacks wisdom, God says, let him ask of God and he will give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He will not chide you. He will not mock you. He will not make fun of you. But he says, an unstable man is unstable in all his ways, but he's talking to the Christian. See, you may know Christ as your Savior and you'll go to heaven when you die, but you may be very unstable in your thinking. You may be a fence straddler. You may be an unstable individual, as he says here, a double-minded man. A man that knows the Lord, but won't serve the Lord. You know what you should do, but you just don't do it. So he says in verse 7 of chapter 1, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about him serving the Lord and what he can reap as a result of his obedience to the Lord. And so then he talks about all the things that God wants to do. In verse 12, he's talking about he will receive a reward if he endures temptations. This is not how to get to heaven. And so as you go through and you look at this, look in verse 25. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He didn't say this man shall be saved and go to heaven when he dies. This man will be blessed. You see, in this life, we want the blessings of God. And when we get to heaven, we want the rewards that God says, I will give to those who serve me. Now, you may trust Christ as your Savior and accept that free gift of eternal life. That gets you to heaven. And he'll never cast you out and never lose you. It's a done deal. But we're not there yet. And it's not all over. God allows every one of us to have trials and tribulations in this life. But he says, if you'll serve me and you'll lean on me and trust me, I'll bring you through, or whatever it may be, you just keep loving the Lord. And God said, I'll bless you and I'll reward you. So it's up to you. It's up to me. See, God doesn't make us serve him. He may make you wish you had. He can cause you to be sick and weak, and many are dead because of their rebellion to the Lord. In other words, yes, we're all going to die, but some have just hastened the process because of their rebellion. See, you and I, as a child of God, we cannot live as we please and get away with it. There is a price to pay. And because we are his children and he is our Father will chasten his children. And he says he chastens every son whom he receiveth. So not one of God's children can live as he pleases and get away with it. Price to pay. So now, if it's true, what should a child of God do? Serve the Lord or not serve the Lord? You know, serving the Lord makes more sense to me. So for 52 years after I trusted the Lord, I'd say, I'm going to serve the Lord. My dad used to beat the tar out of me every time I turned around. I don't need no more of those. I don't need any more of those. You didn't know I knew perfect English, did you? I may know right, and I can read right, and I can write right, but I can't talk right. But anyway, here in the book of James, it talks about you and I as a child of God serving the Lord. And I want you to see this. So verse 12 of chapter 2. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is the word of God, as it mentions over there in verse 25 of chapter 1. So you and I as a child of God cannot live as we please and get away with it. There is going to be the chastening hand of God upon us. So in verse 13 he says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren? So we're talking about the brethren, those who know the Lord, and we're talking about profit and loss in his life. If you go back to your notes, I want to read this to you. Down at the bottom of the page, where it has, yes, Abraham was justified by works, but not for salvation. Romans 4 is talking about salvation. James 2 is talking about service. James 2:1, we just read, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect a person. James 2 is talking to believers, the brethren. Verses 12 and 13 says, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy. And then in the bolder, yes, every believer shall be judged, not for salvation, but for the rewards. See, God is going to reward you when you get to heaven. And he's going to reward you based upon your works. So for Jews just to say, well, I got faith in God. Yeah, but you didn't go to church. I got faith in God, but you didn't trust Him. I got faith in God. Okay, you've got faith in God. Nobody can see your faith. Only thing they can see is what you do because of your faith. If I tell people, I love the Lord, but then I live like the devil, what would you believe? You would not believe me, and I would not be justified because my works or my life doesn't back up what I say. You see, you ever heard parents say, you do what I say, not as I do. You hypocrite. You're supposed to live the way you want your children to live. My children, and one of them's 51 and one of them's 41, have never heard their daddy say a cuss word. They've never seen their daddy smoke. They've never seen me take drugs. They've never seen me taste alcohol. Never. Because I'm supposed to be an example to my children. I've tried to discipline my life because I want to be a blessing here and I want to be rewarded when I get to heaven. Whatever those rewards are, God says it must be worth it. If He makes the statement, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of another man except the spirit of man which is within him? And how can you know the things of God unless the Spirit of God dwell in you and teach you? And then you can know the things that are given to you of God. But the natural man cannot discern the things of God because they're spiritually discerned or understood. And he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But you and I do. There's things that we can know. And it ought to make a difference in our life. And if it makes a difference in your life here, it'll make a difference in eternity. God says so. The problem is, can you believe Him? Can you trust Him? Enough that you will turn your life over and surrender your life to the Lord. Not to get to heaven, but because you're going to heaven. Years ago, when I dedicated my life to the Lord, I was sitting there at Northside Baptist Church, where I was pastor for about 16 years. The years before that, back about 1961, two, somewhere into there. I was sitting right in there. And the preacher got up there and he preached a wonderful sermon. I don't remember what he preached. It was good though. And there were different people saying, amen, brother, amen. And all I know is when he got through, they had everybody standing there and they sung a song, I surrender all. I surrender all. I stood up there and I bawled. I cried. I wasn't worried about anybody else. It was just me. Just me and God. I said, Lord, I'll surrender everything that I am, whatever I hope to be, whatever I've got, I'm all yours. I surrender. I won't fight you on anything for no reason. I don't have no desire to fight God on anything. Because how can I win against God? I just thought, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to be, you got no problems with me. I'll do it. And so I made up my mind. Nobody can do that for you. Nobody can make you do it. You have to decide in your own heart. What do I want? What do I want? Do I believe all of this? It's the Word of God, but do you believe the Word of God? If you do, it'll change your life. It really will. Look up here at the top of that page, you're on page 2. He will be judged for what he has said and done. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. James 2 is speaking to believers about what they say and do with their life now that he is saved. So that's why whenever we look at that verse, and he made the statement down there in verse 12, of chapter 2. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. You and I are going to be judged one day for what we've said and what we've done. Can you live as you please? Sure. Can you get away with it? No. You have children? Can your children do like they please? Yes, they can. Can they get away with it? Shouldn't. But because you love them, you may want to discipline them just a tad. maybe a whole bunch. I got disciplined when I didn't do anything wrong. Look at this face. Innocent as can be. You know I wouldn't do anything wrong. Man, I got whooped all the time. Every time I turned around, I was getting whooped. Even when I went to school, I got in trouble. And it wasn't my fault. You laugh like you don't believe me. I had finally got to this Manor High School, down from Waverly, Pennsylvania, where I was. And I'd heard the stories about my two sisters, that when they went down there, they'd always come home and they'd tell me stories about Mr. Pellegrin. Pellegrin was one of the meanest teachers, they said, in the world. And he would just beat the tar out of you. He'd take you down to the boiler room and he'd take a rubber hose and whoop you with it. Man, I was scared to death to go to school. But I wound up going to junior high. You didn't think I meant to junior high. I went to junior high. And I had determined, this boy is not going to get whooped by that man. This boy isn't going to no boiler room. So I'm sitting there in class, minding my own business like I always did. The teacher walked out of the room. He just gave us a test. And I'm busy doing my thing. Nick Orange sitting in the back, old farmer boy. Nick Orange, I remember his name. I've tried to forget him, but I can't. Nick Horn sitting in the back, and he decided to make himself a beautiful airplane. You ever make an airplane out of a sheet of paper? And I looked back, and I saw him making that airplane. And the teacher walked out of the room and says, I'll be back in a minute. Nick Orange took that airplane, and he sailed that thing from the back of the room. It went up on this side of the room, and it got up there by the door. And Mr. Pellegrin opened the door. And here comes this flying airplane. And it went over there and landed on his desk. He walked in and he looked at the class and said, who did that? Nobody said a word. He said, I said, who did that? Nobody said a word. He says, every one of you are going to the boiler room. The whole class to the boiler room. I'm sitting there, and I know who did it. I remember the stories my sisters told me. They'd come home, and I'd see the whelps on them. And I says, I'm not going to a boiler room because of what he did. So I raised my hand. And Mr. Pellegrin says, all right, Arnold, to the boiler room. I said, I didn't do it. Nick Orange did. Nick Orange said, I did not. You did. He said, all right, both of you come with me. And he killed me. I died. He killed me. He had you drop your drawers, and he had you bend over and grab a hold of your ankles, and he took a paddle, and he had holes in that paddle, and when he came back, buddy, and he picked you up, he got Nick Orange first. I enjoyed that part. He lifted him clean up off the floor. Lifted him up. I mean, he didn't just come across. He comes, whoom, and knock you clean across the room. You say, you can't do that. They did that. And he hit him one time, and Nick Orange was crying. But he hit him again anyway. And I says, he ain't going to make me cry. Second time, I was burning hot. And I was squalling. And I went back to that room. I could have killed Nick Orange. I'll never forget that kid. But listen, sometimes you get chastened for things that you say, well, I didn't do that. There's a God in heaven who sees everything, and you don't get away with anything. You might think you're getting away with things right now, but it's costing you. You just don't know what it cost you yet. Unfaithfulness always costs. A lack of discipline in your life is always paying a price. It's costing you from something that you could have done, you could have gotten rewarded for, and it affects eternity. Sometimes we just don't do what God wants us to do. Look there at your notes. So Romans 4 speaks of God's righteousness received as a gift. James 2 speaks of rewards that are earned by works. James 2 goes on to say in verse 14 through 16, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Your whole life revolves around profit and loss. And James 2 is talking about the Christian life. What profit, what reward will you gain from your Christian life if you have faith and no works? None. Can your faith save you? Save you from what? Loss of rewards at the judgment seat? It cannot save you from losing what you could have had. The rewards that you could have reaped when you got to heaven. You see, he's not talking about heaven and hell. So can faith alone save you? No, not from the chastening hand of God. Not from the judgment where you and I are going to have to give account of what we say and do. No, your sins have been paid for. The penalty has been done. It'll never be brought up again. But God's talking about your works, the fruit in your life. The time when you walk in the flesh and then when you walk in the spirit. When you were faithful and when you were unfaithful. And God's going to reward you for all that which you did for him. You're going to suffer the loss of what you could have had. But there's no sins to pay for. Christ did all of that for us. But God wants to reward you for what you did. So now that you know Christ is your Savior and you're God's child, don't you want to serve the Lord, to do something with your life? Don't you want more than what this life has to offer? Haven't you lived long enough to see that nothing here lasts? Nothing here totally satisfies. You're just passing through. We're pilgrims and we're strangers upon this earth. Look there in James chapter 2, verse 14. In your Bible. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and no works? What about you? You say, I have faith in the Lord, but you don't trust him. You have faith in the Lord that you do what he says do. Obedient. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You see, you and I as a child of God are supposed to be obedient children to our Heavenly Father. So he says, if somebody comes to you and they don't have anything and they're destitute and stuff like that, and you say, be warmed and filled, God bless you, but you didn't do anything for them. What, it didn't profit them, and it doesn't profit you. People in this world are nothing more than opportunities for you and I to prove our love and loyalty to him. So he brings people into our lives. So he says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It's alone. You can have a car battery. You ever have a dead car battery? I've had a lot of them. I still got a battery. It's just dead. You can have your faith in the Lord, but you don't trust him. You don't serve him. You don't obey him. You know you're going to heaven, but your faith is dead. It's fruitless. It's barren. Produces nothing. So he says in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Show me your faith in the Lord without your works. Can't do it. The only way I can show people my faith in the Lord is by what I do for the Lord. Soul winning. Giving my money to the church that what God wants me to give. Those are works. Those are things that I'm supposed to do. Maybe you don't believe that you ought to. Maybe you don't believe a lot of things. It's going to make a difference in how you live your life. And then he says in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and tremble. In other words, his trembling is a result of what he believes. What do you believe? What do you do? What does it produce in your life? So he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man? You notice there in verse 18, a man may say, thou sayest, thou believest. Verse 20, thou knowest, O vain man. It's talking about in the eyes of man. I'm supposed to be justified in the eyes of man by my works and what I do. You see, there's a God in heaven that's going to reward you for the way you lived. And the way you live is in the lives and to be seen by others. Let men see your good works, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your life, your good works is letting your light shine. We often sing it, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What light? It's your life. It's the things you say. It's the things you do. It's where you go. It's your attitude. It's everything about you. So he says in verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? This is 13, 15 years later. But see, when he's justified by his works, he's talking about when he took his son upon the Mount Moriah and offered him up as a sacrifice. That was years later. He was justified by his works because he told those two people that went with him. He says, y'all stand here. We're going there. And he pointed to where he was going. So they could see. He says, and me and the child will return. He actually believed that if he took the life of his son, that God would raise him from the dead because it was his only son. And Abraham was willing to offer his only son that God had promised would be the heir of a great nation. So he believed that in Hebrews chapter 11, that God would raise him from the dead. So you see, Abraham believed in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he makes a statement here in verse 22. Seest thou? Talking about in the eyes of people, this is what you see. Seest thou how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect, complete. The scripture, the Old Testament, was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. See, when you talk about how he was justified by faith alone without works, then it refers to when he simply believed. But when he refers to him about the service, it refers to his works that he did. One about his faith, one about his works. So you trusted Christ as your Savior, but it's because you have a righteousness of God imputed to you because of your faith in what Christ did for you. You go to heaven on that. But now that you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're going to heaven when you die. So God says, now, be justified by your works. By your works. The things that you say and the things that you do, God's going to reward you for. He's going to bless you here. But there's a day coming. He's going to reward you when you get to heaven. And then he also says this. He was called the friend of God. That's important because over here a little bit later he talks about in chapter 4. Look at very quickly. See there in verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And he says that Abraham was his friend. It means that he didn't love the world. Hebrews 11 talks about how he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Totally different. He also refers here in verse 24. In chapter 2, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. But you see, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about service. We're not talking about how to get to heaven. We're talking about when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. Now, as a child of God, God has given us a certain amount of time in which to live on this side of the grave. And we're going to have to answer to the Lord for that time that he gave to us. What did we do with it? And that's why he says, if a man lose his life for my sake and the gospel, he shall find it. But if you live for yourself, you will lose your life. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's in the book of Mark and then also in the book of Luke. And it's also right here in the book of James in chapter 2. Talking about the profit and the loss in a person's life. You see, there's a balance sheet. Every one of us in this room has assets and liabilities. Everybody has something to offer and everybody has a problem. You got an old sinful nature. There's things about you that are no good. There's things about me that are no good. And there are hazards to my Christian life. I got an old sinful nature. You got one of them? You got a bad attitude sometimes? Say and do things you shouldn't say? And then on the other hand, there's parts of you at times in your life, why, you're just like a little angel. You wouldn't hurt a flea. You just love the whole world. You and your wife get along just like that. And the next day it may be war. Everybody has assets and everybody has liabilities. The longer we stay together as a church, the more people you will get to know. And you'll find that after a while, they're not so great after all. See, if you don't get to know us too well, you might think some of us are really wonderful individuals. And then there may be somebody you think that person stinks to high heaven. And you get to know them, they ain't so bad. Why? That's just like you. So he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Then in chapter 3, my brethren, he talks down about what they say. And then in chapter 4, about what they do. Because that's what he told them in chapter 1. And then he shows them the importance of that in chapter 2. That a man is justified by his works for service. God in heaven is going to reward you, not according to your faith, but according to your work. What did you do? How many here know, don't raise your hand, that you should tell people how to have eternal life? You may know that it's the will of God. You may know that you've been commanded. But have you done it? If God is going to reward you when you get to heaven for fulfilling his desires, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, well, I'm following the Lord. If you're not fishing for men, you're not following. And you can go to church all your life. When God says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, do you? Do you go to church when you feel like it, and when you don't go? You'd judge. Only when you want to. You know, easy come, easy go. Or do you take God seriously? Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. You don't have to be great, popular, rich, faithful. God is going to reward you for your faithfulness to him. You're the one that decides how faithful you're going to be, how dedicated you're going to be, how much of your life you surrender to him. But in the back of your mind, I want you to be sold on this one fact. God's going to reward you when you get to heaven, and it'll be worth it. It will be worth it all. Look up here. Remember, you're saved by grace, not by your works. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents all the things we do that's wrong. God loves us. Now, he hates our sin, but he loves us. And the Bible says for us to pay for sin is eternal separation from God in hell. But you see, God doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven. To go to heaven, you have to be perfect, as righteous as God, and none of us are perfect. None of us are righteous. So Bible says that you cannot earn eternal life. You cannot work your way to heaven. Your good works won't get you to heaven. That's why you can't save yourself, not by works of righteousness which we have done. This end represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us, hates our sin, because it separates us from him. So what Christ did is take all the sin of all the world, pay for it on the cross. Came back from the dead, ascended into heaven, and says that whosoever, anybody, if you will believe that what he did was for you, he'll put this payment to your account. You get to go to heaven on what he did. That is the gift of God, eternal life. And he said he'll never cast you out and never lose you. That's how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die, because of what he did. Paid in full. After you trust Christ as Savior and you have eternal life, yes, it's the will of God that we serve him. But we don't serve him to go to heaven. Let's pray, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Would you right now in the quietness of this moment, just talk to the Lord and say something simple like this. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe that when Christ died, he died for me. And I'm going to trust him right now as my Savior. And friend, God said if you would trust him, he would save you and give you eternal life. Would you believe it? I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. But right where you're sitting, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that what I said made sense to you. You say, preacher, that made sense to me. I want to be certain I'm going to heaven. And I'll trust Christ as my Savior by faith alone, not by any of my works, not because I promise to stop anything or I'm not going to promise to start anything. I'm just going to receive the free gift of eternal life. And friend, if you'll do just that much, God said he would save you and give eternal life. Would you believe it? If you will make that decision, would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Just very quickly slip up your hand. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Just slip it up very quickly. There's no tricks to it, no gimmicks. But once you trust Christ as your Savior, he gives you eternal life. And if it's eternal life, it lasts forever. And if it lasts forever, then friend, where would you go when you die? You'd go to heaven. That's why it's the best news in all the world. Our Father, we thank you so much for this time together and for the one indicating that they would trust you as Savior. By doing so, they become your child for all eternity. We ask, Father, your blessings upon each person here to understand the importance of serving you, because we know the day will come when they will be rewarded for the work they are to do. Bless each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.